and welcome to episode 26 of Carlene's Anime Corner, a St. John's County Public Library podcast. And I am, well, in my key phrase here, super excited because I actually have a new guest today. And not only that, but she is probably going to be joining me multiple times, so I'm going to call her my semi-permanent co-host. Ms. Zoe, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Zoe. I am a friend of a friend of a daughter of a coworker, if that makes any sense to you. But
In other words, we met through work, but you're too young to work at the library.
Yeah, I mean, I volunteered a little bit, but like that was years ago, so I don't really know if it counts anymore.
Yeah, well, it always counts.
We've kind of been friends for a while, mostly just like off and on, I guess.
Yeah, well, you also have been a regular attendee of my anime club for ages.
I have, so. And I do love it. It is a very good time.
It's always fun to see you around again, and I'm glad we got to start up the anime club in person.
Oh, yeah. Doing it online was just not really the same.
No. I mean, it was fun to discuss about anime, but it's not the same as doing it in the room with snacks and crafts and hot chocolate.
Yeah, I like getting free snacks. It's a big bonus. It's a really big bonus.
You weren't always into anime. How did you start watching it? Because I remember when I met you years ago, you weren't really watching a lot of anime at that time.
No, I suppose I wasn't really until middle school that I actually started to try it out. I think it was maybe 7th grade.
Okay.
But I was kind of intimidated by it, actually, because, you know, all my friends were into it, and I just see all these pictures of, like, weird guys with, like, crazy hair and crazy clothes and big muscular men with big swords, and I'm like, oh, what is this? This is weird. And yeah. It wasn't until, like, I think it was summer vacation, I was left home alone, because it was the first year I was actually allowed to stay home alone without going to, like, a summer camp, something like that.
Yeah.
I think it was in the living room, and I was scrolling through Hulu, I think. Mm-hmm, and yeah. I found a show called Attack on Titan.
Oh, you dove in feet first.
I dove in head first. I just like, yeah, I saw it, and I read the description. I'm like, oh, this looks pretty fun, because I'm actually a pretty big fan of horror movies as well, and action shows. Like, before anime, I watched a lot of, really bad slashers, bad shark movies, that kind of stuff. I just thought it was really fun.
See, complete opposite of me. Not a horror person at all.
I love it when it's done well, and when it's done bad, I love laughing at it.
Okay,
but, like,
yeah.
Here's the funny thing. I may have committed, like, a cardinal sin when I started watching Attack on Titan, because I didn't know the proper way to watch, like, long shows and stuff like that, because before then I just stuck to movies and, like, simple cartoons didn't really have overarching stories.
Does anime have cardinal sins?
This might be one.
Okay, what is it?
So what I did was I scrolled through the first season and I read all the episode descriptions. And no, it gets worse.
That's like reading the back of the book before you started.
Listen, I get worse. It gets worse. I found an episode that had the most interesting description and I started from there.
Yeah.
I watched it from the middle of the season. And it just so happened to be the episode that I like had the massive main twist with the main character.
So pretty much you pretended that it was actually airing live on TV and you were tuning in for the first time.
Pretty much. I just like, and I will admit, after I watched that first episode, I was like, this is actually really good. And I did go back and start it from the beginning, but I kind of spoiled one of the biggest twists of the show by starting like that.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't know if it's a cardinal sin, but it maybe wasn't the best idea.
Yeah, I mean, when I told my friends about it, they acted like it was a cardinal sin. Like, I might as well have just told them I killed somebody. They were horrified when I found out I started a show like that.
So obviously you enjoyed Attack on Titan. Are there other anime you've enjoyed watching?
There were a couple that I enjoyed in my middle school age, but looking back, they were kind of not very good, and I kind of don't like them anymore. Like, we probably won't be reviewing here, because
if you name one of my favorite series, I'm going to be really hurt.
No. I've lived off of recommendations from my friends, and my friends didn't have the best taste. Like, I think after Attack on Titan, my friend, she gave me a recommendation for a show called Black Butler.
And I watched it. That was really popular when it came out.
Yeah, it was. And she loved it. She was a huge fan of it. And I watched it, and I thought it was pretty good. I was a little off-put by some things. Like, a few certain characters were a little, I don't know about that one. But I, for the most part, I liked it. I even bought myself a pair, a box of Black Butler themed playing cards. I still have those. They're really weird.
Yeah. I have a collection. I have a box of One Piece themed playing cards and a randomly De Grey Man playing cards.
I don't think I've heard of that one, actually.
Okay, I'll have to introduce you to that one. It's De Grey Man is a weird anime. It gets weirder as it goes.
I think the other shows that I got into around that time was K Project, which I still kind of like, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
Which it's a pretty basic show. I enjoy it, but mostly for guilty reasons.
I watched that one a while ago. It has some really good animation to it, and I did like some of the humor. Some of the character designs I was not entirely thrilled about.
Talking about that one cat girl?
No, actually, I was fine with her in a lot of ways. I felt like after the first season, the story fell apart.
Yeah,
it's they should have stopped at the first season. Because I watched the movie and I started watching the second season, and then I was like, "Yeah, I'm not interested."
When they brought
in
the weird mobile game stuff, I'm like, "Oh, this is the best you can do."
I don't think I even got that far.
No, you didn't get that far. No. Let me tell you, it gets worse.
Okay,
evil mobile game. That's the best way I can describe this. The last season I watched of it, there is an evil mobile game.
It's always sad when something that has a lot of promise just kind of dives off a cliff.
I still rewatch the first season occasionally. It's got a special place in my heart.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it has a kind of a fun mystery angle to it,
and I like the samurai character. He's funny.
Yes, he is funny.
He is.
Let's talk a little bit about the anime we watched for this episode. Now, I did actually review this one on this podcast ages ago, but that was back during COVID lockdown when I was at home and not with anybody else, and it was a very sad 10-minute episode. And since I know it's an anime you enjoy and I greatly enjoy, I figured none of us would mind rewatching it again.
I really didn't mind at all. I forgot how much I love this show. I forgot.
So we are reviewing today One Punch Man, only season one, because I have kind of decided in my heart of hearts season two doesn't really exist, which isn't quite fair to season two, to be honest, but I don't know. Anyway, we'll get into that. But One Punch Man came out in 2015. It's only about 12 episodes long, and it was done by Studio Madhouse, who does a fabulous job with animation, and it shows in this series.
Some of the shots are so pretty.
They are. It is based on a manga by a guy whose pseudonym is One, which I find hysterically funny. He also wrote Mob Psycho 100, which I have not watched that yet.
That is on my watch list.
Yeah. And this series, as far as I know, is currently available on Netflix and Crunchyroll and possibly Hulu, give or take.
So, I remember watching it for the first time on Hulu. But that might have changed over the years because I watched it a while ago.
Things come and go. So, real quick, non-spoiler: the idea of this series is that there's an overly powered guy named Saitama, and he can defeat everything with one punch. And it's kind of a problem. And there's a hero society and weird monsters, and that's what the show is. So, Zoe, without giving a whole ton of spoilers, what is your, just a quick thought on this show and your star rating?
It's funny. That's the most, I guess, basic, bare-bones description of it. It is funny. It's it's satire, but, not bad satire. It's actually pretty nice, the genre. But, the character designs, they're hilarious. I love all of them. It's just so funny. I love Saitama as a character. He's great. I love the other side characters you meet on later on, except for maybe one, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we might get into that a little bit later, because I think
later.
I might know what character you're talking about, because there's one character I don't really like either.
Well, there might be two, but that's a different discussion. It's a very action-packed show. A lot of the fight scenes are gorgeous. It's so pretty. A lot of shots are stylized in a really nice way that just kind of hits the right part of my brain. It makes me feel really not happy when I'm watching it because I love good animation. I'm a sucker for beautiful stuff like that. I'm pretty sure everyone is, but I just love it.
Yeah. Animation doesn't only have to be beautiful for me. If they're going for a very interesting stylized look, I can get to like it too. But yeah, this was just fabulously animated.
Gorgeous.
It was
so smooth, and the choreography is just it's nice. Out of stars, I think I would give it If we're rating just season one, I would probably give it a 4.5.
4.5? Okay. Weirdly enough, because I have my notes from when I did this episode earlier, that's the exact same rating I gave it. It was a 4.5. It only got docked because it had a couple characters that I was just like, I don't really like them. They're not great.
That's my reasoning too. That and also kind of like the finale was a little bit for me.
Yeah, I felt like, well, we'll get into that. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later.
All right. So we are officially at the spoiler mark. If you guys are listening to this and you have not had a chance to watch the epic wonderfulness that is One Punch Man, I highly recommend you pause the podcast and go watch 12 episodes of anime. It doesn't take all that long. I did just cram the series in 2 days, so I know you can do it.
They're like 23 minutes each, yeah. So it shouldn't be too long.
No, it's about 4 hours or so.
About 4 hours?
Yeah.
You can do
anyway,
that.
All right. Zoe, let's get into the weeds on this one. All right. So one of the main things about this anime is the wonderful fights.
Ah, the fight.
What was your favorite fight and favorite villain?
Okay, that's... Funnily enough, it's actually kind of... This is kind of constricted, like, the first couple episodes. Well, not really. I think my favorite, like, fight... would probably be a tie between what's it called, the Carnage Kabuto.
Oh,
Carnage
the giant
beetle dude versus Saitama and Speed of Sound Sonic.
Okay.
Versus the guy with like the big egghead.
Oh, the hammerhead,
the cone head looking dude.
Yeah, hammerhead, because he has that really tough skull.
Yeah, I like hammerhead. He's funny, but like,
well, I love the fact he keeps showing up again in the series.
I know.
Too.
Okay, I love. Okay. I love when shows do that.
Let's side rabbit trail just a little bit here, and then we'll get back to fights. One of the things I love about this series is they'll bring you a character, and even when they're not front and center. Sometimes you see them re-showing up throughout the series.
I love when shows do that.
It makes it feel like a real world somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of like this city is like an actual city where you kind of like a... In some shows, they have like a small town in the setting. They'll show like a set of characters and they'll like re-show them occasionally in the background and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like during the... what's it called? The fight with like the big alien ship and stuff like that.
Yeah, at the
very
end.
They showed a bunch of cuts of all these characters in like normal settings watching the news, and like they showed like the scientist guy and his gorilla friend making like octopus or something, and the hammerhead at a job interview, and I'm like, oh, it's so cool, so fun.
Well, and I love the fact that originally Hammerhead was protesting the, you know, having to work and why should we work and all this stuff, and then
like life should be free.
And then
I can kind of agree with that, but like he kind of went about it the wrong way.
Yeah, but I just love the fact he got whacked on the head a few times and he went, okay, that could have gone way worse. I'm gonna go get a job now.
I'll never be a terrorist again.
Yep.
Thank you, mommy, for your thick skull.
Yes. So back to fights though. My favorite fight is actually a little bit different. My absolute favorite one is the one between Genos and Saitama when Genos wants to test himself against
Saitama.
Oh, when
they're training in like the gorge and stuff?
Yes, because the animation on Genos is amazing because Genos is a cyborg and he's decided Saitama, who can kill everything with one punch, is going to be his master because he wants to learn to be stronger.
And Saitama doesn't like that.
And Saitama just doesn't know what to do about this.
He's a normal dude. He's relatively normal in terms of like personality. So he's just basically what happened was he walked outside, swatted some mosquitoes, and then ended up walking home with a robot tailing him.
Yeah, yeah. And he
and
just
the robot
doesn't,
won't leave him alone.
Doesn't quite know what to do with this. But that fight is just so fabulous because you get to see the cyborg, like the way they animated his limbs changing and morphing as he pulls out his weapons and just the angles they did in the action.
It's like firing blasts of like explosions and stuff like that
and it was
destroying everything.
It was just really well done and I really enjoyed that. The second fight, I think probably my second most favorite fight, I think it's going to be maybe the alien one at the end when the alien leader comes down, just because as that fight goes on, I love the way the animation changes and gets like, it's no longer detailed. It's just like color and scribbles everywhere because things are getting so frenetic.
It's so chaotic. It's like color chaos.
It's a color chaos. And I just love the fact that the fight starts out controlled and it just gets more and more chaotic as it goes. And the animation follows that.
It starts off a bunch of aliens punching a bunch of heroes and it ends with a guy getting thrown to the moon.
Yes. Yes.
And also exploding. A lot of explosions.
Lots of explosions. So we started talking about Genos a bit. And Genos, I think, is a fascinating character.
Genos is my favorite.
He's
so fun.
Well, what's fun is this entire show is a parody of the shonen genre.
The superhero shonen genre.
Yeah, superhero shonen genre.
Like, it's
kind
of making fun of My Hero and stuff like that a little bit. Though yeah. Did it come out before or
it
after
came
My
out
Hero?
Before My Hero.
Before My Hero.
I think it came out before or at the same time.
Around 2015. What?
Yeah, I don't
remember, actually.
We will look this up real quick while we talk. But what I love is Genos is like your most typical shonen protagonist. Like, and you know how this pace of the story should go because, like, if I've been watching anime, I think, for almost 20 years now. And I watch a lot of shonen because I like shonen. And you know how it's going to go with the shonen hero.
There's a formula.
And I appreciate the formula because that's part of, I like the formula.
Like, you can make twists on the formula and like a little bit interesting sometimes.
And when the formula is done well, I really like it. Like One Piece, I really enjoy One Piece, and that is as formulaic as you can get. But the formula is done well, and they keep bringing in new and interesting characters and traveling to new and interesting places. One Punch Man, you stay pretty much in just this one giant amorphous city. And it's not until the end you start bringing in a lot of other hero characters. But they somehow manage to take the shonen genre and they twist it. And Genos is the perfect example of that.
Genos is the entirety of the shonen protagonist like genre just crammed into one
yes.
body. Like, can I just say something really funny? I think one of my favorite jokes about this show is when you first meet Genos and he shows up at Saitama's apartment after the Mosquito Girl fight.
Yes.
And he just starts recounting his dramatic backstory. And it takes like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. And the thing is his dramatic backstory is like this evil cyborg killed my family and I was in despair. And then the scientist came and gave me a cyborg body. And now I'm hunting down this evil cyborg. And I'm like, this is so typical.
He's like, I must get stronger. And then I see you and you're the strongest person I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I must be like you. And then the whole time it's just like showing shots of like the background and stuff.
So real quick, My Hero Academia started in 2016.
So this came before it.
Nah. Yeah. So it was working on superheroes before, although Tiger and Bunny came before One Punch Man. So
I haven't
actually
seen a bunch of Tiger and Bunny. I feel like I read the bit of the manga.
I haven't watched it. I've only watched the first episode, and it was years ago, but it's kind of the same thing where they're making fun of superheroes, but it's a different way. It's like superheroes are now corporate, and they're carrying they're sponsored by companies.
Ah.
So that's the superhero joke on that one.
Okay. But like, back to Genos.
Yes.
The joke where he, like, he's talking about his backstory, and it's like, and like the music is gradually speeding up, and he's talking gets gradually faster as he keeps cramming in more words, and it keeps cutting to different shots of, like outside the apartment, things inside the apartment, the one shot of a pill bug trying to get up, and then, like, it cuts away, and then it goes back to the pill bug, and the pill bug's walking away.
Yeah.
Like, he's taking so long to explain his massive dramatic backstory. And then Saitama is just getting more and more frustrated with him because he just keeps talking. He doesn't know this guy. He just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was interesting, because I actually rewatched this before I came here. I watched this with my mom. And she pointed out that when it was cutting to different shots of, like, Saitama's apartment while he was talking, she was like, it's almost like you're looking at the places Saitama's looking, because he's trying to avoid looking at Genos while he's talking and, like, getting bored with him. So he's just, like, looking around and trying to find new things to look at.
It's also kind of funny, though, because the shots of his apartment you then see them again later on, like his little elephant watering can and stuff.
I love that thing.
It has the same dopey look on his face that he does.
he and that watering can, they have the same eyes.
Yeah, same eyes. Same, like, oh, world weary. Oh, my gosh, this is happening again.
Yeesh.
Yeah, well, and I love the punchline to that joke, too, because Saitama finally just looks at Genos and goes, 20 words or less.
He just snaps. He says, I didn't ask to hear your whole story. Shorten it to 20 words or less.
And then
the best part is that he started talking about his backstory because Saitama asked, "What's your problem?" And Genos went, "You want to hear about my problems?" And then he just starts unloading all of his trauma.
Yeah, so Saitama shouldn't have asked.
No, he didn't even ask. He was, like, being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
because Genos is a robot, and he didn't really get that it was sarcasm, so he just started, because he takes everything he says
literally.
Well,
except for Genos is also a cyborg, so he's got the mind.
He's got a bit, but...
But
Saitama said, "What's your problem?" in, like, a joking, sarcastic tone, and Genos just took it as, like, a sign to just get rolling.
Well, he might also, as a person, have also not been very good at sarcasm.
He is a robot who lives with a scientist who kind of does not. His scientist friend looks very weird. His hair is, I don't know if it's a hair or a hat.
I think it's hair shaped like a hat.
It's like
a bowl cut on steroids. It, like, sticks like out a foot from his head.
Listen, the best way I can describe it is if he cut a lemon in half and then stuck it on his head.
Yeah, it does look a lot like that.
It's kind of twisted it on there.
Yeah, yeah.
The weird nose, too, a Pinocchio nose.
Yeah, you never really get to see the scientist all that much. He just shows up every now and then usually fixing Genos.
Yeah,
Genos gets damaged a lot.
Another thing I love about Genos is how every fight he's in, almost every fight, he gets, like, busted up. And he just comes back good as new the next episode.
Yep. And with new toys sometimes.
And with new toys. He gets, like, an upgrade at some point. He gets all sleek and shiny.
So, and that's the one of the things I really like that this show does, is every villain you meet, they start doing their monologuing, and it's like every villain has a monologue backstory, and Saitama gets so bored of it.
Like, the first episode, Vaccine Man. Amazing name for a villain, by the way.
Yeah.
And then he just starts talking about how he's Mother Earth's apostle, he's gonna cure the world of the human disease. And Saitama's just, like, look at him with the most blank expression.
Just like, yeah, well, and that's where the animation does a really good job, because Saitama, most of the time, he literally looks like an egg. His head looks like a bald egg, with just round eyes, the most plain, boring animation you'll ever see. But when he gets interested in something, or he gets serious, all of a sudden there's, like, this detailed facial expression.
He goes from, like, Sunday morning cartoon to just, like, Shonen level, like, Studio MAPPA anime or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's amazing. And that's part of what the show does really good, is it plays with the animation from the detailed to non-detailed and back and forth.
Like, going back to Carnage Kabuto fight by the way, my favorite arc of the series is probably the whole, like, House Evolution thing.
Which only took, what, two episodes?
I don't know why I like it so much. I guess the characters are so funny, and it's, like, the final fight is just really, it's really nice. The colors are, The big stag beetle man. He's very interesting. I like him. Even though he's kind of there to punch a few times and be evil.
And just show how powerful Saitama is, because he's like, I'm going to go on.
Yeah, but, like, when Saitama's in the show, they're like, Saitama's going to reveal a secret to how he got so strong. And then he just starts talking all dramatically, and it's literally just, like, the most basic superhero training regimen.
Oh, yeah. What was it? 100 push-ups, 100 push-ups, 100 squats.
Run, like, 100 miles, no AC, no heating.
Yeah.
Eat 3 meals a day, banana in the morning.
Yeah. And it was just, and everybody's just looking at him like, that doesn't make you this strong.
And Genos is yelling, like, I did not ask to train under you just to hear stupid jokes. And then Saitama was like, well, that's all I did.
I think what Genos learns from Saitama, though, is to not take life too seriously, which Genos needed that lesson.
Oh, God, he needed that.
Because at the end, Genos is way more flexible than he was
at
the beginning.
He's way more relaxed. He's not as all uptight. He's not going to, like, he's less robotic.
Yes.
I
think Saitama gave him back some of his humanity. Let's put it that way.
I love Genos. He's so fun. Oh, small thing about Genos. In the Mosquito Girl fight, there was one shot where Genos is, like, jumping back from an attack, and he's, like, there's a shot where, like, his whole torso, like, spins while his arms are out, and I'm like, oh, and I didn't really catch that when I first watched it. And it really just, you know, sometimes they show how, like, he's literally all mechanical, because he pulls things out where his torso spins all the way around and stuff like that.
Was there the one time when he was shooting the asteroid, and he takes his shirt off, and you see that he's all metal, and he literally opens up his chest and pulls out his power source to power his weapon to try and shoot the asteroid.
Just, like, small details like that. It's just, it's really nice.
So I think the only thing that's literally human on him is his head at that point.
And even then, his face gets, like, all scratched, and, like, you can see, like, when his eyes get clawed, there's, like, there's metal underneath it. It's, like, maybe his hair is organic or something like that.
I think only his brain is organic,
only
quite
his
honestly.
Brain and hair.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Well, I don't know if even his hair is organic, though, because he comes back and he has a full head of hair, even though it all got burnt off.
I don't remember him getting his hair burnt off. I remember him getting it, like, poofed up once.
When he fought with the Sea King and got spit on with that acid. He was pretty much a skeleton at that point.
It did burn his hair off.
Yeah.
Maybe he is just a brain, then.
How many times does Genos get destroyed? I think we're up to 3 or 4.
That's not even counting the times, like, outside of major battles. Like, that one time a tornado just crashed him through a wall.
Yeah.
Or Crunch Kabuto slammed him into the side of, like, a building. And then Saitama's like, you turned him into a piece of modern art. and he just gets killed and then brought back so many times to a point where it's like a running gag.
Yeah, it is. It actually is in this whole series. But you don't really, I guess, realize that. So we've talked a lot about Genos and a little bit about Saitama. There are a lot of, like, minor characters we meet in this series. And I have to admit, one of my favorites is Moomin Rider.
Oh, Moomin Rider.
Moomin Rider is so amazing.
The superhero whose only power is he has a bicycle.
Yeah, he rides a bicycle. That's his only thing he has that he does.
All he does is he goes around on bikes and does, like, small D, like getting cats out of trees and stuff like that.
But the thing is, I think out of all the heroes we meet, other than Saitama and Genos, and possibly Silver Fang, because I like Silver Fang.
Silver's pretty neat. Bang's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Silver Fang or Bang, whatever name you want to use for him.
I think Moomin Rider is probably one of the only true heroes in the Hero Society.
Yeah, like, because he's the only one who's, like, his heart's actually in it. He's in it
doing it to do good for people.
Yeah, it's like his thing.
Everybody else seems like,
I'm flashy,
I want to punch things, I want to be pretty, I want to be worshipped, I want to be this.
Like Amai Mask.
Yeah, that's
a good
example.
He's a supermodel and an actor, but he's also a superhero, and even though he doesn't really do anything heroic at all.
Yeah, we never see him do anything, which I'm going to guess that probably in the manga he does something.
Or season two, something like that.
Or season two.
But that doesn't exist, so.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
One day I should watch season two, to be honest.
I remember watching it, and I remember getting very disappointed and very confused.
Yeah, but Moomin Rider, I love the fact that Saitama is not well liked because everybody sees him as being, like, destructive, a glory hound, and all this stuff. Even though he's cheating
his way in,
and it's like they go ahead and at one point he purposely takes that on because the whole heroes
they're being defeated left and right, and he kind of made himself out to be like a bad guy because he didn't want them to be discredited.
Yeah,
or like
saw that the Hero Society actually does do good, and that they didn't, and he was like, "I don't care. I can take this. I don't care enough about it."
In the Deep Sea King fight, when all these heroes got defeated by the Deep Sea King, and then Saitama, the C class hero, comes in because they have these rankings, S class,
and everybody
B-class.
Was like, "This hero is supposed to be really weak.
He just came out of nowhere. He's a C class. He shouldn't do anything. And he killed him in one punch. What? What does that say about the other heroes?
Yeah. Why do we need these heroes if they're that weak and so on?" And Saitama was like, "Well, they're not that weak, and they did try to help you." And so he goes ahead and he makes himself out to be the villain, going, "Ha, they all weakened it so I could kill it and all this stuff.
Aha, I have all the credit now because I killed it when they already weakened it." And
so
that's a really noble thing.
So he just gets a whole ton of hate mail. And what I love, though, is you get one letter that all it says is thanks. And then later on, as he's walking home, he sees, he stops for noodles at the stand. And you see a guy there without his bike helmet. And you realize once he starts talking, it's Moomin Rider. And he's the one who sent the thank you note to Saitama. Aww. And then he buys them noodles as a
And they're just having dinner
and hanging out. And that's, I was just so like, nice. Moomin Rider's just a good guy. He has no powers. He has no ability to do anything, but he's still going to throw himself in danger that's way over his head because he is that kind of guy.
His superhero is being a good Samaritan.
Yeah, he's just a good guy.
He's just a really good person who wants to help people. And on the hate mail thing, when Saitama pulled out one of the hate letters and he went, "Here's a guy with free time," I died.
Yeah.
I choked on my cereal.
That's a great line. It's like, oh, here's somebody with a lot of free time.
Oh, God.
Saitama, you never actually, I think, really know how he's feeling half the time.
He keeps his emotions are getting distant, but I think it changes a little bit over time.
Well, and I think having a Genos was good for him too, because that also caused him to, and dragged him into the Hero Society and got him interacting with people more. But yeah, because I think he was just quite honestly suffering from depression.
Yeah, because, like, before, he was, like, he said he only was a hero to, like, you know, he initially started to be a hero to, like, you know, help people. But then over time, because he kept killing things in one punch, he just kind of, like, didn't really get any thrill out of it or
yeah,
any, like, sense of,
like,
righteousness.
He had no purpose.
And because the monsters kept coming, it was like he wasn't doing anything. All of his efforts were for nothing.
Although, I love the fact that that one episode with the seaweed monster,
oh,
you find out the reason why all the monsters keep showing up is because they keep hearing there's a really strong monster where he lives, which he lives in an abandoned part of town because nobody lives there because all these monsters
he
keep showing up.
He lives in an abandoned town because the rent's cheap.
Well, and also... No one wants to be there because all these monsters show up. The reason why all the monsters are showing up is because he's the really strong monster they keep hearing about.
So he's unintentionally... So he's attracting them, but he's also killing them.
Yeah. So he's unintentionally causing all these monsters to constantly show up in his city.
He's like, you know those bug lamps that are like
yeah.
candle flames that like whenever the bugs go into them, they get zapped. He's like a human bug zapper.
Zapper, yeah.
He keeps killing all these monsters, but even more keep showing up because they hear there's like a super strong one that could like help them or something. But then he just keeps killing them. So it's like an endless cycle
yeah.
of monsters
and
dying
just,
and then coming back.
I also found it really funny that apparently we have the Sea King show up. We have the Subterraneans show up. We got the...
The
Lizard King shows up.
And the bird people.
The bird people show
the
up
Sky
at the very
King.
Sky King. And I'm like, how many kings do we have going on
then we
here?
Get the Space King.
Yeah.
More like Space Emperor, I guess.
Yeah, I think he was an emperor.
Or Space Pirate Captain. I think he was a pirate who like ravaged worlds and stuff.
Okay.
They called him Lord.
They called him Lord
Boros, I think was his name.
Yeah. I don't know. But he showed up from space with his giant ship and a lot of aliens and tried to kill everyone.
Melzargard and like a Gurmurdy Shoop or something like that. And they had weird names.
Oh, the seer's name was like Shimbalala or something
Shimbalala.
Like that. So there's some weird names in this anime.
Especially with the hero names. Some
yeah.
of the hero names are funny.
Silver Fang, Atomic Samurai, Tank Top Tiger.
Metal Bat. No, that's kind of a cool name, actually.
Metal Bat is like the gangster kid. I love
He's like the pompadour.
Pompadour.
He's like a delinquent, but he has yeah. a bat. But then I think in season two, it's revealed his little sister.
Actually, it's revealed in season one because he's upset because he got called to that meeting because he's missing his little sister's piano recital.
Yeah, it's in season two that you actually meet his little sister. But
okay.
Like, I think in season two, it shows how Metal Bat became a hero because
yeah.
he wanted to like make a better life for his sister because he was like a poor kid and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I like Metal Bat. He's fine.
Yeah.
But
well, okay. So let's talk a little bit about what happened between season one and season two.
Season one and season two.
So season one, you concentrate mostly on Saitama and Genos. And at the last handful of episodes, they start bringing the whole Hero Society. And you start getting this idea there's a story going on that you don't know about behind
like,
the scenes.
They end season one with a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah, huge cliffhanger.
Like, there's so many different like open-ended
yeah, open,
stuff.
Yeah, open-ended stuff. So I was really looking forward to season two. Because I was like, great. When I heard they were going to do a season two. I sat down to watch season two. I watched one episode and then I haven't watched any more since. I am going to say it is not because the humor of the show decreased at all, because there was a lot of the same sarcastic humor that's in the first episode. It wasn't that Saitama wasn't in the episode because he was front and center. It's because we went from some of the best animation I've ever seen to mediocre, fairly good animation.
Like something you'd see in your standard isekai or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It wasn't horrible.
Mediocre at best.
But it wasn't great.
It was like being served like a full Michelin star first course dinner and then like going out to like Chili's
or something. Or McDonald's. Yeah, you just went to McDonald's. It's good, it's fun, it's fast, but it's not great.
It's not Michelin star. It's not gonna make you wanna sing your heart out.
Yeah,
it's not like
roast beef dinner with all the trimmings.
No, it's just a burger and fries. It tastes nice, but it's like
yeah.
not as good as
not
other
as good.
Stuff. It's just
so it was just so that apparently, from what I heard, is Madhouse got tied up with other projects, was not able to do the animation for the second season, so they gave it to a different animation company.
So, that does explain it then.
Yeah, which explains a lot. As I said, one day I will probably sit down and watch season two, but after I watched that first episode, it was no longer a priority for me, and there's a lot of anime out there to watch.
That's true. There's a lot more stuff.
So, but yeah, so as I said, One Punch Man, the second season might not be bad as far as storytelling goes. It seemed to keep a lot of the same type of atmosphere that the first season had.
Like the monster designs and all that stuff, the new characters were great.
Yeah.
I love seeing more of the heroes.
Yeah, but it fell down on the animation, and you lost that really, like, oh my gosh, that was awesome feeling that you got from the first one.
It didn't make me feel things when I watched the fights.
Yeah.
Like, normally when I'm in the fights, I'm either losing my mind, really hyped, or just kind of like, you know, going like, oh yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But for that one, I was just, for the fights in that one, I'm like, all right.
I don't need to sit down and pay attention to this. Out of curiosity, did you watch One Punch Man in Japanese or English?
I watched Japanese first because Netflix doesn't have the English dub.
That's right, they don't have the English dub.
But I did watch a bit of it in English on Hulu. And I don't remember how I felt about it. I remember, I know is I watched it and I thought Genosis and Saitama sounded pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So I own this series on Blu-ray. Okay, let's put it this way. I bought the limited edition with all the extras.
I can see by the really fancy case there.
Yeah, really fancy case. It's got a little art book, art cards.
It's got like a whole sleeve and everything.
Whole sleeve. It's like multiple parts.
It's like collector's edition.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Like it's like a booklet of animation cells.
It's just like art.
Bits of the manga and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
little character
designs.
Sketches. So yeah. So anyway. Needless to say, I'm a huge fan of the first season because I bought that and it has the English dub and the Japanese. So I have to admit, I've watched this, I think, now 5 or 6 times. And I switch back and forth between the English and the Japanese, and they're both really well done.
The English dub is actually good for this.
The English dub is amazing. It is fantastic. So
that's really refreshing.
Yeah,
a lot of shows don't have good dubs.
Eh.
It's like, it depends on the show, though.
Okay. This is where things get a little, like...
A little controversial?
Yeah.
The age-old debate of sub versus dub.
Let me put it this way. When I started watching anime, most dubs were terrible. They were awful. We're not even going to say that they were, like, mediocre. They were just downright terrible. The worst dub done these days, except for a few on Netflix, which, if we ever watch that anime, I will talk about that dub... Most dubs these days are at least competent.
They're at least all right. It looks like they're trying.
You're at least not cringing every time somebody opens their mouth.
Yeah, at least they're just like, most of them are like, it's kind of bland, but it's acceptable.
Yeah. And there are some older anime from the 90s that I have watched where some of the voice actors they chose... I don't know why, but they would do certain voices that I know they don't talk like that in normal life, and I would just go, no.
No, thank you.
I cannot. I am sorry. I cannot.
Modern dubs range from kind of bland but all right to kind of ridiculous in what they're trying to do to really good.
Yeah.
Like a good example of a show that has a really good dub, Assassination Classroom.
That dub is very
good.
That
dub is great. I love it. It's so good.
Funimation actually has a really good collection of voice actors that they use for a lot of their stuff that turns out really well. So do you mostly watch stuff with subtitles then?
I mostly, whenever I try out a show, I always watch it subbed first.
Okay.
And then if I really like that show, then I'll go and try out the dub and see if it's any good.
I have to admit, so a lot of my stuff I watch is on Crunchyroll and a lot of it doesn't have a dub. So I do watch a lot of subtitles, but occasionally there are times where I don't want to read my anime, and then I'll try out the dubs. And they're, as I said, they have gotten a lot better in the last few years. All right, Zoe, you and I have talked now for quite some time, and I think it's time to wrap things up here.
Ooh.
So any final last-minute thoughts on One Punch Man?
The final fight, it's chaos, and... It's pretty good, but like I was not as captivated by it as previous fights. I just thought it was a little bit much at times.
Okay.
And Lord Boros, the Cyclops elf looking dude, I thought his design was a little bit boring.
Compared to some of the other ones, I'd say he's more of a traditional shonen design.
Yeah, compared to like the squid, the sea. Okay, listen, they took the king part of his name and like really kind of amped it up a little bit. Like,
yeah.
He's got a crown and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, not like a crown, but like a King Henry VIII crown.
I like the fact he morphs when it rains. He morphs into,
really...
like, this like lizard barracuda,
like
type
an anglerfish dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But like compared to like the dude with like four heads and like six arms, you could like split into like. You could like his head could come up and have bat wings and stuff.
Yeah,
and
that one was creepy.
And then that one was weird with like the marbles and stuff. You had to destroy to kill him. And then the octopus looking dude who looked like he was made of like slappy hand rubber.
Yeah,
you know, it was like sticky hand stuff where you throw it at the wall and it sticks. It looks like it looked like that. And then you got this really big buff guy with one eye, really long elf ears and weird hair.
Yeah,
it's
in armor
and armor.
He
looked
a little cyberpunk actually.
I mean, he did look like a space pirate, but I feel like they could have leaned into the whole pirate thing a little bit more.
Okay.
Or at least made him look a bit more creative.
As I said, I can see where they were going with kind of a very traditional shonen-looking character for their big boss fight. But yeah, compared to the other bosses, not quite as creative or weird or off the wall.
Yeah, compared to like the lobster dude, the weird crab guy, Crabulante.
That one kind of bothers me with how he winds up dead, let's just say. That is one where I was like, I think this should be TV 16.
Or like the one background character who's like a car. Like,
oh.
The dude who like turned himself into a car person.
Yeah, that was the one where Saitama didn't even let him finish his backstory.
No, he just punched him and walked away. And like the Vaccine Man.
Yeah.
For a first impression villain, Vaccine Man is great.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you so much, Zoe, for joining me.
I'm happy to be here. This is honestly one of my favorite things to do, and I'm glad I can put it somewhere.
Thank everybody for listening to us as we talked about One Punch Man. If you have any thoughts or comments about our show today, you can email me at the email address in our show notes. And we also have a lot more exciting anime coming up and possibly a video game episode sometime in the year. We'll see what happens with that. And Zoe, so what anime series are you going to go home and watch after this?
I'm probably going to continue my rewatch of JoJo because I'm really into that show right now. But I am planning on watching either Mob Psycho 100, it's on my list, or Megalobox at some point this week. I'm going to get into one of those at least.
I got to
get into one of those.
Well, I have to admit, I've been eyeing some of the new stuff in the spring feed that the spring season just started this year. So I'm probably going to raid Crunchyroll and watch a bunch of first episodes of new anime and see if there's anything that catches my interest.
Sounds like a plan.
Anyway, thank you all for joining us. And as I said, if you have any recommendations or thoughts, just send us an email. And I hope you guys have a lot of fun watching a ton of anime. Bye.
Bye.